since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Big story today, James Harden on his way to the Brooklyn Nets. That became official about 2 hours ago. Huge deal. Again, you never get full value for a superstar. Can't stress that enough. But I do believe the Houston Rockets today acquired the top draft package I've ever seen for a superstar. And I'm actually really impressed with how fast the Rockets moved compared to what happened last night, which was just a train wreck all the way around. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Jamison Welsh of BasketballNews.com. He joins us each week to talk NBA basketball. So, of course, we got to get Jamison on to break this down today. Jamison, thank you for the time.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
I know you, like most who cover the sport of basketball or the NBA, you've got to be happy that this saga has come to an end, that maybe it lasted a lot longer than anyone in Houston would have liked, but the fact is, they did get a pretty strong package today. I'm actually quite impressed.
It's not a bad package. I'm not a big fan of getting a bunch of picks, because, you know, picks are picks. You just never know where they wind up, and, you know, it's a very, very risky business. However, they got more clarity to their situation. You know, getting Victor Oladipo and a bunch of picks is good. Like, that's a good thing. But what are you going to do? Are you going to re-sign Oladipo, or are you going to move him and bottom out and get more picks? A lot to be seen. You have an owner that doesn't really want to pay luxury tax or anything like that. I can see them moving on from P.J. Tucker as well as Eric Gordon if they choose to. So there's a lot of things going on. I'm very curious to see what's the next step.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point. P.J. Tucker more than likely on his way out. You mentioned Eric Gordon as well. You have to mention those two with what's happening right now in Houston. And as far as what you said about draft picks, look, I'm always of the mindset, trade your picks. I've always been of that mindset. I don't care if it's the NFL. I don't care if it's Major League Baseball, the NBA. Trade your picks for proven commodities. It's changing a little bit in the NFL, but it's the same concept in baseball and the NBA. I'll tell you what I'm not a fan of. I am not a fan of swapping picks. I think this is an overrated aspect when you look at deals. Now, the Rockets have the ability to swap picks with the Brooklyn Nets in 2021. Yeah, that's not going to happen. They're not going to do that. Odds are they don't swap picks with them again in 2023. The back half of this deal, where they can swap picks in 2025 and 27, that's the interesting aspect of this deal, because by the time Oladipo is probably no longer wearing a Rockets uniform, Dante Exum on his way out, he'll no longer be wearing a Rockets uniform. Let's just be realistic. You have the ability to swap picks with a franchise that may be looking to rebuild by the time you hit 2025 or 2027. I know it's a long time down the road, but that's what stood out to me in this trade.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the objective. If you're a team like Houston that's trading a star player, you want those unprotected picks as late as possible, because more than likely, you know, Durant and Harden will be out on their way out. You know, they won't be all-star, superstar players 4, 5, 6 years from now. That's just not going to be the case. So if you're able to wait it out, then you wait it out. However, I'm not big on acquiring a bunch of picks, because with the picks, you still got to draft.
Like, you still got to do something with them, right? It's like OKC, right? You still got to do something with it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put it this way. Remember when the Pelicans traded for Anthony Davis and everyone was like, oh my God, they got a great package. They got a great, all these picks and blah, blah, blah. But the Lakers won the championship and the Pelicans are further away from the playoffs today than they were when they made that trade. So, you know what I mean? So what really is it? I think people get caught up in the mind frame of having a bunch of picks and equating that to being able to do so much extra stuff. And for GMs, they love having assets, but I mean, you break it down, you can't really draft all those picks. Like, for instance, Sam Presti can't draft all those picks.
No, he can't. It's not possible.
Like, exactly. So having all the picks is cool until you got to actually draft them. If you can't draft them, then you got some issues. But I'm very curious to see what happens going forward. Brooklyn's an interesting spot. Houston, we'll see. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. And you mentioned Dante Exum. There's a chance he might not be in the league that much longer. He's just not that good, and he stays being hurt. We don't ever need to mention him anymore on the show. I know he's a former Jazz guy, but we don't need to mention him.
Look, Jazz fans don't want to mention Dante Exum anymore. I mean, look, they stole Jordan Clarkson for Exum. That's going to be his footnote in Utah Jazz history. Let's just be real.
Yeah, and Jordan Clarkson's on his way to having a really good career for a late second-round guy. Kudos to him. But at the end of the day, like, it's the Lakers and everybody else. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, no matter what trades get done, the Lakers proved it last year, and they're proving it again this year. you've got to have defense. Like, you have to have a defensive scheme and a system with guys buying in into it fully. And you can't get that mind frame in the middle of the season. It doesn't work that way. That takes training camp. That takes leadership. And most of these other teams don't have that. And until that's the case, we're going to see the same old, same old.
Jamison Welsh, you get a basketballnews.com, joining us to talk about the trade that really rocked the NBA earlier today. James Harden on his way to the Nets, Victor Oladipo to the Rockets, Jared Allen, Torian Prince to the Cavs, and Caris LeVert to the Pacers. Now, with all of those moving pieces, Jamison, you look at the Brooklyn Nets, and yes, on paper it looks great, but this is not the best situation in the world right now. It's not as if there's clarity with Kyrie Irving. It's not, I mean, really, when you take a look at the situation in Brooklyn, it looks beautiful on paper. However, it's a lot of moving pieces. You have to make this trade. I'm not saying that the Nets screwed up. I'm not saying that at all. You have to make this trade 7 days a week. You make this trade. But I don't believe it's a foregone conclusion that this Nets team is now the best team of the Eastern Conference for what we've seen so far this season, knowing the situation.
No, you're right. I actually still like Philly, like Milwaukee. I even like Boston as a contenders out that way. So we still have a lot of basketball left to play. That being said, the Nets did get better.
Yeah, no doubt.
Knows, but they did get better, but they also got Kyrie insurance because we don't know what's going to happen with Kyrie going forward. We don't know if he's going to retire. We don't know if he's going to be out for the year. No one really knows. And Kevin Durant's able to opt out after next season. If things don't go right or if he doesn't feel it, he can bounce. So this was more of insurance on keeping Kevin Durant there for the long haul rather than anything else in my eyes. Because if you went into this season and who knows what happens the rest of this year with Kyrie and you play it out, next season becomes very stressful because if your best guy can leave and you get nothing back, you're in a lot of trouble. So it's more to me, this deal was made as insurance for anything, but we don't know what's happening with Kyrie Irving. At the end of the day, like, he's the key. If he's able to come back and fit in, they're okay. But if he's not coming back, or if he retires, or if he wants out, then who knows? Who knows? Like, it's a big mystery at that point.
Yeah, it's one of those deals, and I'm just trying to think of one off the top of my head, so I'm just going to throw this out there. When Sam Presti made a move and he brought in Carmelo Anthony and Paul George, it was kind of like the tip of the hat, right, to Russell Westbrook. Look, we can build around you. We may have lost KD outright. We may have traded James Harden for nothing, but we can still build around you. I almost feel like while Brooklyn has to make this deal in the same sense, this is a nod over to KD. Hey, look, this is what we're going to do for you. That's kind of the vibe I got out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those situations where they got to keep their guy happy. I mean, Kevin Durant came to them and basically told them, like, hey, well, I'm signing with you guys, so make it work. And they held up their end of the bargain, and they're doing the same for him. They are making it work and getting one of his best friends on the team. Now, is it going to work out? I don't think so. I don't think the way these guys play and the deficiencies they have, I don't think it's going to work. But it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a hell of a story. But the one thing we got to remember, Kevin Durant couldn't handle the Bay Area media, which is like a light media compared to others. So if he can handle the Bay Area media, what's going to happen when you got the New York media after a game where somebody goes 7-for-20 and they, you know, miss a bunch of threes and have some turnovers? It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, especially in the circus that's now going to be the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, especially with the Kyrie situation and James Harden. Yeah, this is going to be a different kind of beast than what we've seen Kevin Durant ever a part of. We can't overlook the other two teams in this deal. And Jamison, I know the Cavs give up a first-round pick in this. However, they grab Jared Allen. When you take a look at what this kid is really capable of doing, I think the Cavs did very well here today as well. And I don't think that can be overlooked.
Man, look here. They got the best defender that Brooklyn has to offer. They got a young guy who should be signing one of those extensions in 4 years, $80-plus million extensions. He's gotten a lot better since his freshman year at Texas to now. He's gotten a whole lot better. And he's going to keep on progressing as well. He's one of those bigs that you kind of want to have. You know, those are the modern bigs that are able to run up and down the court, rebound, block shots, rim run, and hold their own on switches. If you got one of those, you keep them. So that leads me to believe in Cleveland, they're probably going to trade Andre Drummond at some point or, you know, move JaVale McGee at some point as well. I mean, because Jared Allen is their center of the future. And he should have still be in Brooklyn, but he's not friends with Kevin Durant like that. That's why he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, again, the Cavs did very, very well here today. And when you take a look at the Pacers, getting someone like LeVert and moving the deal of Oladipo, who may not be with the Houston Rockets past this season, I don't think it was a bad day for the Pacers either. I mean, it's one of those deals that I can break it down and look, okay, Houston had to move on from Harden. We know this. Brooklyn had to make this deal. I get it. The Cavs got better. Honestly, I don't fault the Pacers for what they did today either.
No, the Pacers definitely got better because they got a guy that, one, is under contract, and two, I think he's healthier than Oladipo is overall. So they're in really good shape going forward. The thing about the Pacers is they've been stuck in no man's land for the last few years now. Mm-hmm. When I mean no man's land, you know, not good enough to really contend, not bad enough to tank. They're right, like, the worst range in the NBA to be in my eyes is like between 6th and like 11th in your conference, because you're not good enough to really contend with the good teams. At the same time, you're not bad enough to totally tank. You know, LeVert can stay healthy. We've seen what he can do. He can get 20 a night and really help an offensive challenge team like the Pacers going forward. I'll be interested to see what they can do.
Jamison Welsh, you get at basketballnews.com. You can follow him on Twitter at TheJamison. Jamison, I appreciate you jumping on, especially on short notice, to break down this trade. Thank you very much. I know we'll talk again real soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. I want to thank Jamison Welsh, Coach Lynn Tuttle, for taking out the time to join us as well. See you tomorrow. Be safe. I am out.